2 weeks ago, we were reminded there are many ways in which we fall short, but we can always count on God's conditional, unconditional love. And the sermon series that we're going through this summer is called Step Up. And we're going to step up to God, at least learn how to do it. This kind of reminded me of my mother's unconditional love for me. And she taught me a lot of things growing up. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. My mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to get stuck that way. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. And she also taught me about justice. One day, you will have kids just like you. Last Sunday, we talked about embracing authentic faith to give God priority over our possessions, because they're really not ours. They're ours to use here on earth and to share with God, to grasp His greatness in our life. Now, let's see what we can find out about our text today, which is Malachi 2, 1-9 that Betty read. And if you miss something in the sermon or you want to look at it a little closer, you can go to the website. I've been monitoring the number of people that listen to the service and the sermon on the website, and it's amazing. Sometimes there are 20 and 30, and sometimes there are even hundreds. Tom has the world record with 790 people that listen to his sermon on worship. I don't know where they are, but they're out there someplace. I guess we have a virtual cyberspace congregation that is not here. I just like to take a little poll. Now, don't be embarrassed. How many people have actually listened to a sermon or the service online? Okay, half a dozen. Where are they all? They're getting a free ride, aren't they? They're not participating in our congregation except online, which is wonderful in itself. So that's great. But feel free, go to the website, EagleBendCommunityChurch.org, and you'll be able to see and listen to the sermon in case you miss it. You can see what's going on in the congregation. Well, look at verse 1. It says, "And now this admonition is for you, O priests," and everybody else is going to say, okay, I can check out now because it's not for me because I'm not a priest. But that's not the truth, is it? The connecting point is priest. In the Old Testament, a priest was the one who was the interceder between people and God. But based upon the New Testament, that's not the case, is it? No longer do we need an intercessory person at all. The priests in the Old Testament were to sacrifice animals and to serve God. And the high priest on the Day of Atonement was to go into the Holy of Holies and sacrifice to the Lord. But under the New Testament, Jesus Christ is our new high priest, and we are priests unto ourselves. We see this in Hebrews 4:14. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess." Jesus is our permanent priest, the permanent high priest, the one to whom we go to. In Hebrews, it says sacrifices are no longer necessary. It says, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. Wow. That is a monumental statement. It washes away all the responsibilities of us having to go to a high priest when he offered himself entirely. And amazingly, the Bible teaches that you and I are priests. It's not that I'm a minister. I'm not a special priest. You are priests to each other yourselves. Peter, 1 Peter 2 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You are priests What a responsibility. And John puts it this way in Revelation 1, and has made us to be kingdom and priests to serve God and his Father. Every believer is a priest. We don't need to go through anybody to get to God. Isn't that fantastic? We just are right there with him as our own priest. Each of us is called to lead others upward today. And that's our role as a priest, to elevate each other so that we become closer to God. You know, it's easy to forget that we are priests. It's easy just to sit here on Sunday morning and listen to the music and Betty's announcements. She forgot her horn today. For those who are new, she had a horn to try to get you all to sit down, one of those little fog horns. But she didn't need it this morning. Just had to be patient, which is difficult. Well, if you don't know Betty, she's not very patient. She likes to get things done yesterday, even though it's today. Well, there are 5 leadership lessons that we learned from the scripture in Malachi. We're introduced to a group of leaders who exhibit conduct unbecoming to their profession. And they did it with an air that, so what? They dishonored God's holiness. They no longer honored God. Notice the first part of verse 2, that because they did not honor God, they did not bother to listen to him. It says, if you do not listen and you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty. The word listen means to listen intelligently, not just to have the words go in one ear and out the next. And to set your heart refers to an active decision of your will to do something about it. We see that from chapter 1, that the priests did not honor God because they were giving him garbage from the sacrifices and offerings that were being brought to the people. They did not have good sacrifices. They brought the blemished lambs and the blemished goats. We see him, that God refers to himself as the Lord Almighty 4 times in this brief passage. And this represents the fact that God is all-powerful, has the armies of angels behind him. But the priests didn't care. They kind of yawned in the face of God. They're all bored with it. But God gives them a condition. He says, if. He gives them an opportunity to come back. On the other hand, if they give glory to God and set their hearts to honor his holy name, he will unleash his blessings upon us. And that's what happens to all of us. If we honor God in everything that we do, we will have blessings upon us abundantly. And I'm not talking about the Joel Osteen, you know, give them wealth and give them money. No, that's not it. There's a lot more than that. There's a lot more than that that God will unleash upon us. He will unleash upon us his love and his blessings. In the second half of verse 2, God declares he will send curses upon them if they do not honor him in a way that he wants. He will send them. He will send them doom and destruction upon these people. He will curse their blessings. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. We are living today in a way that we should honor our kids. What happens today, all things that happen presently, financial, personal, spiritual, affect tomorrow's. Whatever happens today, you know, it may not affect us directly today, but it will affect others that follow us. Our little ones, like the ones in the front here, they are going to be affected by what happens today. The second part is rejection. It's one of the strongest statements that we find in the Bible. He says, I will spread on your faces the refuse or offal from your festival sacrifices. Because the priests were offering sick and maimed animals on the offering plate. They used to have to open them up and take the organs and intestines out and dispose of them to keep the animal clean. I remember field dressing an animal. I used to go elk hunting. I used to go with a bunch of guys that are about 30 years younger than I was. And I remember being out on the field with an elk that was been shot with my arms up to my shoulders inside the elk, cutting out the intestines. And that we used to be able to, we had to do that too. George is saying yes. I think George did that too. It was fun. Cold and wet and mucky, right? But, you know, inside the animal is warm. But it was, the idea was to get the guts and all the gross stuff out of the way. And that's what the priests had to do. God was saying that because his priests had not honored his holiness, he's going to give them manure makeovers. And that's what he said. It spread the dung on their faces because they were so terrible. These are all illustrations of what God was going to do to those people, because they were giving him sick animals. And they, imagine the self-righteous leaders wondering what had happened to them. God does not want sloppy or wimpy worship. What it says in the book of Nahum 3, it says, I will pelt you with filth, I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. That's if you do not follow God. Sometimes that happens to us in our life. The rebuke led to rejection and finally to removal. When the priests cleaned it all out, they were supposed to throw it over the wall and get it out of the way. They will carry it off with it. They will not, God will not let anybody who rebels against him prosper. Malachi 1:2 says, I have loved you, said the Lord. He loves us too much to keep us living like we are. We must come back to a proper understanding of his holy love. Well, God says, why have you turned away from me? He's referring to those people that Malachi was talking to. But you have turned from the way. You have left God's paths. The way is the way. That's what the early Christians were called, the followers of the way. Once a leader stops walking with God, our ministry is over. And I'm not just talking about the pastor. I'm talking about other leaders in the church. I'm talking about the priests in the congregation. You must walk with God. And that's what Daryl and Theresa sang about. I'll walk with God. We depart with the way we usually, if we teach the wrong thing, we cause other people to stumble if we don't answer the right questions, if we don't have a good witness to people. When we get cold, others will ice over too, because our coldness reflects to others. Our warmth radiates to people. So that they are enlivened by the Spirit. Corinthians 15 says, bad company corrupts good character. These priests' words made people waver. Instead of pointing people upward, they were tripping them up. Jesus had no tolerance for this in Matthew. In fact, David read this. But if anyone causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned into the depths of the sea. That's what happens when we fall short of God. He also says that we have desecrated the covenant. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. Levi was a priesthood group of Jews. The purpose of the covenant was to produce a love from the heart between man and God, and they violated it. They were going on their own. They were setting up religions that were not godly. They were despised by the people. They valued what the people thought more than what God did. They accepted these awful offerings because they didn't want to be politically incorrect. So it says, so I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people because you have not followed my ways, because you have shown partiality in the matters of the law. If we don't take our relationship with God seriously, nobody else will either. That's the important thing. People will see it. The sham was over. Their gig was up. The priests were calling to task. Don't you think it's enough bad news? Let us move forward and use what we have in this congregation to lead others upward. the leadership lessons that we have in this scripture are great to hear. We are to respond in obedience to God. James 1:22 is translated in Peterson's Message. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Act on what you hear. Act on what you hear. You should be an example. You should revere God as awesome. Levi was the third of Leah's son born to Jacob. His name really means to adhere to be joined to. Leah was hoping that with Levi's birth that her husband might be drawn closer to her. Now, in Genesis 29, it says, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me," so he is named Levi. That is the universal desire of all wives, isn't it? For their husband to become attached to them. As men, we need to recommit ourselves, to reattach ourselves to our wives in any way that we can. Many of us are playing little church games, compromising, disobeying, whatever we feel like, right in the face of an almighty God. We just kind of step away. If we revere God as awesome, that would change our life forever. You see, many of us are bored with God because we don't understand who He really is. We need to resolve to lead ourselves, to be examples for ourselves, to really hold ourselves accountable. Look at the first part of verse 6. The true instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and righteousness. This was before Jesus was born, and they're talking about what he did. We are called to lead those over us, those next to us, those beside us. And the toughest leadership challenge is in ourselves, to be examples to people. Unless we are squared away internally, we have nothing to offer anybody else. When we see someone straying, we are tempted to turn the other way, aren't we? When we see somebody that's not doing the right thing, we have to go and try to get people out of the mud. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death. Is there anyone you can think of that's outrightly disobeying the Lord? You know, there's got to be some way that we can bring the gospel to them. Do we need to make a visit or a phone call or just be sympathetic? We need to represent God to others. In verse 7 in this scripture says, "For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge." That means we need to talk the truth to others who ask us questions. We need to be able to respond in a way that people understand. People should want to hear from us. Do you make people thirsty for God? Do people come to you for answers? If no one has asked you why your life is different, maybe that's because it really isn't different. Listen to that. Maybe has anybody asked you why your life is different? Maybe it isn't. But people should be saying, you know, I'd like to live like you live. I'd like to have that joy, that hope, that freedom, I don't care about tomorrow because today is so wonderful. If no one has asked you why your life is different, then maybe it really isn't. Well, these leadership questions, and we are all leaders because we're all priests, aren't we? In that way, we are priests. There are 5 leadership questions. Respond to God in obedience. Do His will. Revere God as awesome. Read the book of Isaiah. Read the book of Malachi. Read about the new discovery, the God particle. That's amazing what's happened. The more science has found out about the universe, the more they say there are other universes beyond, way beyond our comprehension, way beyond what we can even begin to think about. We need to resolve to lead ourselves, to grow in grace, to grow closer to God, to grow closer to the ones closest to us, to enrapture God, to embrace God, to embrace our loved ones. We need to repel people from sin. Determine to make a contact this week with somebody that you know could be lifted up. What a great thing you could do for them to change their lives, to make them lifted up, to represent God to others. Speak about Jesus to your friends in a way that's not offensive, but loving. I often make the comment when somebody's playing golf with me and they make a bad shot and they say, "Oh, gee, JC, you know," and I'll say to them, "Oh, you know him too?" When they make that bad shot. Since we all lead somebody, we ought to lead ourselves first. Does God have all of you? That's important. If he doesn't have all of you, why not? There's a story about this fellow, Aaron Ralston, the Colorado climber who got caught in the rocks in Utah, had a 600-pound boulder, had trapped him for 4 days, and he had to cut his own arm off, or else he would die. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Mark 9:43, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off." You may be in the same spot and you just don't know it if you're caught with a 600-pound boulder of whatever it might be. Maybe you're going through the motions as a Christian. Maybe in your life there are things that could be done better. I know for me there are just so many things that I could do better. So many ways I could get closer to my wife. So many ways that I could be a better great-grandfather, a grandfather, or a father. And there are so many things that can be done. We don't want to play church with God. We don't want to use the church as an excuse. He wants you to be on your feet for him so that you don't have these fatal flaws. And he wants you to lead others upward. The question is this morning, are you willing to do that through him? Are you willing to lead others upward to God, upward to him?